Hello, and thank you for joining us for Fairies and Dragons, Ponies and Knights, Season 3, Episode 4, called Home. If this is your first time listening to Fairies and Dragons, Ponies and Knights, you might want to go back and start at Season 1, Episode 1, The Egg, so that you can get the full story. My name is Maren Langdon Spillane, and today we are thrilled to welcome special guest artists Oliver and Gracelyn Spillane, who also happen to be my children. Oliver is almost 8 years old, and Gracelyn is almost 11. They have both been big contributors to the story of Fad Pack, but this is their first time as special guest artists. We're very happy to have them. Be sure to check the show notes for links to their final artwork. Before we get started, I want to take a quick moment to thank our amazing Patreon family. Fad Pack is brought to you by Dirt Road Theater, a small local theater company in Northfield, Vermont, and your support on Patreon goes such a long way towards making this story possible. It was so wonderful to see some of your faces and hear your thoughts during our live Zoom shows. So, a very special thank you to Naoma from Vermont, Daniela from California, Scout from Missouri, Tessie from California, Lucy, Cora, and Rose from Florida, and Jennifer, Kayla, and Felicia from mysterious places unknown. If you're part of our Patreon family and you didn't hear your name, don't worry. We'll be sending a thank you shout out your way in one of the upcoming episodes. We love to see things you've created that are inspired by Fad Pack. We've seen costumes and Lego creatures, clay sculptures, and stuffed animal impersonators, as well as many, many gorgeous drawings and paintings. So we encourage all of you listeners to create anything that you're inspired to while listening. Then, if you'd like, you can share your creation with us on our Facebook page or email it to us at petrathedragon@gmail.com. And now, let us begin Season 3, Episode 4 of Fairies and Dragons, Ponies and Knights, called Home. Previously on Fad Pack, Talora, Azrael, Petra, Bob, Amethyst, and Citrine set off to rescue Shakatala's fire from the Arbor Fairies, and in so doing, made a dangerous bargain with their leader. They must now find a very important missing person and are headed to the city of Tremaine, where he was last seen. Talora was on edge. This certainly wasn't the first time during the last few months that she'd felt this way, but this time it was different. When they had set out to find the Arbor Fairies and begin the journey to retrieve Shakatala's fire, there had been a clear purpose, a clear destination. And now, they were looking for a person who could be anywhere. Talora went back over the details in her head. Hemlock, the leader, or longest branch, of the Arbor Fairies, had offered to trade Shakatala's fire in exchange for something the fairy had lost. The flower that sings, the flower that ended in fire, the light of the wood, and the voice that would never tire. Okay. Then, Cedar, Hemlock's right-hand fairy, confessed that the thing Hemlock had lost was a boy named Florian, whom Hemlock loved, but whom Cedar pretended was dead because they thought Florian was a distraction. But that backfired because Hemlock turned super mean and started trading things for creature souls. So, apparently, they just had to find this Florian kid, or he would be a grown-up by now, and then everything would be fine. Except, they didn't know anything about Florian, his whereabouts, or if he would even go with them back to Hemlock if they found him. None of it was straightforward, and that was only half of it. This deal they'd struck with Hemlock. The stakes were too high. If they couldn't find Florian, then Petra and Azrael's souls would join the others in Hemlock's collection. Ugh! Talora shivered violently, a vivid picture in her mind of Petra and Azrael standing in front of the tree in the forest that held Shakatala's fire. His essence. The pain that resounded from all the trapped souls that Hemlock kept tucked away in his trees. No, she could not let that happen to Petra and Azrael. She could not, she would not, allow their life force to be trapped forever, turning them into ghosts of who they once were. How had they gotten here? This was supposed to have been a quest to find a missing dragon egg, and now,
And now it was like the whole world was at risk, and somehow she, Tolora, a 15-year-old knight in training, was partially responsible for putting things back together again. Beatrice wasn't there to help, nor was Carnelian. It was all too much. Tolora, are you okay? Petra looked in concern at Tolora, who had stopped walking and was staring at the ground. They left the realm of the Arbor Fairies that morning and had been walking through the woods all day, headed toward the city of Tremaine, where Cedar had said Florian was last seen. Though they doubted they would find him there, they certainly hoped that there would be some clue they could trace, something to point them in the right direction. It was slow going, the forest was dense, and the dragons were somewhat awkward on foot in the uneven terrain. They were too afraid to fly. There had been too much evidence of humans, and they knew that they were close enough to Tremaine that to take to the air would risk being seen. After their last encounter with humans, they were hoping to keep Petra and Azrael as undercover as possible. And that was another thing, thought Tolora. How are they going to enter the city of Tremaine at all? Petra and Azrael couldn't come, and that meant that Tolora would have to go by herself. Well, Citrine and Amethyst could come with her, of course, hidden in her pack. And that thought did give her some extra confidence. And maybe Bob? But Tolora! Petra nudged Tolora gently with her wing. Where'd you go? Tolora shook her head. Sorry, I'm just trying to figure things out. Citrine and Amethyst fluttered out from Tolora's pack where they had created a cozy and fancy, as Citrine liked to describe it, fairy bungalow in the back pocket. Citrine landed on Tolora's shoulder. Listen, Tolora, I know lots of big, scary things are happening, but you cannot just stop and stare blankly at the ground while we are questing so hard here, okay? Citrine clapped their tiny hands together next to Tolora's ear. Snap out of it!
I know, said Tolora, starting to walk again. I feel a little overwhelmed.
You can share it with us, you know, said Azrael. Let's figure it out together, okay?
Tolora could tell that Petra and Azrael were shaken. Seeing what had happened to their father's fire had strengthened their resolve and made them all sure that what they were doing was vitally important. But the experience of being in the Arbor Fairies' realm and feeling the weight of all those lost souls had also been deeply unsettling. She looked at the dragons and tried to smile. You're right, Azrael. I know I don't have to figure it out alone. Amethyst landed on Talora's other shoulder.
Oh, good, Citrine. She's back. Now, they're going to have a nice talk. Do you want to listen, or should we get back to decorating our pouch palace? Those garnet-encrusted end tables are not going to make themselves. You know, I like Pocket Palace better. It just seems more right, you know? Let's decorate, Amethyst. I bet all the world's tourmaline that this talk is going to involve feelings, and I haven't had lunch yet, so I am not sure that I can handle that.
Did someone say lunch? Bob bounded out from behind a bush, clutching pawfuls of roots. I just happened upon some burdock roots, which are, as you may or may not know, a powerful source of antioxidants. So cleansing. Yes.
Ew, Amethyst? Quick, get inside. The pony wants us to eat dirty things again. I just can't.
And you shouldn't. The fairy digestive tract is a delicate, delicate thing. The fairies fluttered back inside Talora's pack as Azrael went over to investigate Bob's findings.
Okay, Tolora, let's talk it out, said Petra. Well, first things first, I guess, started Tolora slowly. How are we thinking that we'll approach the city? I don't think there's any way you two can come with me inside. Given that those people we ran into the other day were talking about rewards for capturing dragons because of what Shaka Tala has done, we can't risk it.
But we can't just leave you to deal with all that on your own, protested Petra.
Petra, Talora's right, said Azrael, crunching thoughtfully on a burdock root. There's no way we can walk into a human city right now. It's too dangerous. We're not helping anyone by getting captured.
Can I be of assistance, perhaps? Asked Bob.
I don't know if you should come either, Bob, said Tolora. I have no idea what I'll be facing, and it's probably best if we keep this a purely human interaction. I have no idea how they'll react to a pony in the city.
Oh, well, that is somewhat disappointing, but I know you have to roll with the punches, as they say, when you're on a quest, and though I have never seen a human city and have some mild curiosity as to what all that looks like, I will, of course, remain deferential to your judgment, Tolora. Naturally. You're in charge.
Fine, Tolora, said Petra. You'll go alone, but we'll get as close as we can and wait for you. We can help you if you need it, and you should take the fairies with you.
Amethyst, they're talking about us! Citrine's muffled voice chimed in from Tolora's pack.
No, tell them to stop it. Ugh.
fine. I thought this talk was going to be about feelings, but if it's actually about action, their tiny brains will need our help.
Two fairy heads popped out of the pocket.
We are here for you, Talora, said Amethyst. We will go where you go, fight where you fight, do whatever things need thinging.
Amethyst, why are you talking like that?
Shh, I'm trying something, Citrine. It's quest talk. Mortals are all about it. Like, it just feels right for the moment and stuff. I just want to meet them where they're at, you know?
Oh, Amethyst, you are so generous.
I'll try that too, maybe, Talora smiled.
Yes, I'll take the fairies if they're okay with that. Citrine flew back to Talora's shoulder.
Oh, Talora, valiant one of greatest strength and nicest hair. Yes, we will go with you, do whatsoever you need us to do, support your fearsome efforts in your fight for good and stuff.
How am I doing, Amethyst?
So good, Citrine. Except we won't do whatsoever if what she needs us to do is eat dirty, dirty pony roots.
Right. I didn't think of that. Ugh, quest language is complicated.
Okay, well, a plan is taking shape, said Talora, already starting to feel more energized. Amethyst, Citrine, and I will enter Tremaine and try to find out whatever we can about Florian and his family. It may take us a few days, but if we find a safe place for the three of you to hide nearby, the fairies can go back and forth between us and send messages.
Here we go again, fairy messengers. Amethyst, we are better than this.
I know we are. Watch those whatsoevers. They are tricky.
Do we know anything about Tremaine? Asked Asriel. They have a king, right?
Talora nodded. Yes, I've heard he's unpredictable. My house, the Green Knights, have classes on government, politics. They used him as an example of why a monarchy can be problematic. Tremaine is large, almost as large as Durga, but they're really isolated. They're considered powerful because I guess there's a lot of wealth there. I don't know what the people will be like, though. But if they've been dealing with dragon attacks, things are going to be pretty unsettled.
Suddenly she froze. She could hear rustling and clopping through the trees, the unmistakable sounds of someone on horseback.
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone's coming, she whispered. Can you hide? Where? Asked Petra. We can't hide. Should we fly?
No, there's no time for that now, said Talora. Asriel, get Bob. Asriel scooped Bob into the carrying pouch that hung around his neck just as a rider on horseback appeared through the trees.
Hello, he called out. There you are. We've traveled halfway across Dunia looking for you.
Talora was shocked. She recognized this man. He was Ozar, chief counselor of the Red House of Knights in Durga. The Red Knights were the military house in charge of defenses, and their training encompassed all manner of battle and combat. They were lethal and well known for sticking to themselves in Durga, not mingling with the other knights or regular citizens. Talora had never spoken to Ozar before, but had seen him at events. And even if she hadn't, there was no mistaking his bright red tunic emblazoned with a crest of a Durgan knight.
Knight Ozar? She asked uncertainly. What are you doing here?
Talora Shamsa, it is good to see you.
Ozar dismounted from his horse in one fluid motion. He was tall and strong, and his manner fearsome, though not unfriendly.
I imagine you have had quite an adventure these past weeks. Ah, and this must be Asriel and Petra. Such a pleasure to meet you. Of course, I saw you at the infamous Dragon Games, but we were never properly introduced.
He took a step toward them, and Talora felt herself shrinking back reflexively. There was something disorienting about seeing someone from Durga so far from home, of this powerful reminder of her past life, but it was more than that. Ozar frightened her. Of all the chief house counselors, he was the one that her own chief, Knight Uba of the Greenhouse, never talked about. Uba had stories about all of the other knights he'd gone through training with, and would occasionally indulge the knights in training with tales from his youth. But whenever anyone asked him about Ozar, or about the Red House in general, he was tight-lipped.
Talora looked up at Ozar. He towered over her, his presence solid and calm. He wasn't being aggressive, and she didn't feel threatened exactly, but what was he doing here?
Talora, you must be exhausted. And so, I bring good news. I have come a long way to find you. Your mission is over. It's time to come home.
Talora had an urge to laugh. She was so surprised.
What do you mean? Did Beatrice find her egg? She said.
Amethyst and Citrine had been communicating with Carnelian so the two parties could keep each other posted, and the last Talora had heard, Beatrice was about to leave Olean to seek the giants. She couldn't have found her egg yet, could she have?
Knight Ozar fixed a hard stare on Talora. How curious that you don't know. Where is Beatrice? If you've abandoned your mission, you must continue your training.
Talora reached out a hand to steady herself against Petra.
No, my mission isn't over. I can't go back to Durga, not yet.
Ozar looked at Talora steadily for a moment. Then he sighed and turned away from her, adjusting the hilt of his long broadsword as he took a few steps back toward his horse.
Talora, many things have changed since you left Durga.
Petra snorted.
It's only been a few months. How much could have changed?
Ozar turned his hard eyes toward Petra, raising a finger to touch his temple briefly.
Ah, just as described. Your voice sounds in my head, yet your mouth doesn't move.
I hadn't heard dragon talk before. Not quite like that.
Your mother addressed us all at the dragon games, of course, but this feels different.
Interesting. He shook his head.
Well, Petra, you are correct. It has only been a few months since you left, but there is a tension throughout Dunaya that has been building for longer. I believe your mother noticed this herself when she asked for help amongst the knights.
Something is coming. Skirmishes, fights, escalating violence amongst all the creatures, even in Durga. And now, perhaps you've heard, a dragon wreaks havoc across the land. All knights are needed. We cannot spare you, Talora, for a baby rescue. You need to finish your training.
Baby rescue? Exclaimed Azriel. That baby is my sister, and that missing egg might be the key to everything.
Petra silenced Azriel with a sharp look before he could continue. Knight Ozar looked shrewdly between them.
Interesting, he said thoughtfully. What do you mean exactly? Asked Talora. What's coming? This doesn't make sense.
Agreed? It does not. No one knows what's at the heart of it, but we do know that it's happening. Some are predicting a war is brewing. As we speak, many humans are gathering to face and destroy this dragon.
Azriel froze.
Shaka Tala. Ozar nodded.
Aha, so you are aware.
Yes, that's the one. But not the only one. Over a dozen attacks, several dragons now, all across Dunaya. There have been deaths, human deaths.
Petra shut her eyes tightly. He's killing humans, and there are other dragons attacking?
Well, some say they are only defending themselves, but this is a distinction I find irrelevant. Human deaths cannot be tolerated.
Talora felt her blood chill in her veins. She knew what this meant. Of course she'd heard stories, and everyone knew that dragon-human relations were delicate, but the peace had been protected for so long, and in a matter of days, Shaka Tala had torn that peace to shreds.
Now, some say this is all a coincidence and we just need to be patient. See things out. Others predict something bigger is coming. There is much disagreement within Durga about what we should do. There has even been a...
Ozar paused for a moment, frowning, and ran a hand over his face before continuing.
There has been division among the knights in Durga, among the houses.
Wait, what do you mean by that? Said Talora, forgetting everything else for a moment. The knights are supposed to be united, no matter what. That's what makes Durga strong.
Well, I'm glad you see it that way. This is why we need you home, Talora. Many knights have abandoned us, disagreeing with how things are being handled in this moment of crisis, going off on their own. We've lost over half the Yellow House, several from the Green have disappeared, and more are leaving every day. And there have been banishments.
Who has been banished?
Well, Uba was the first to go.
Knight Uba? Uba?
Ozar lifted his finger to silence Talora. Just Uba now.
Uba Saltar is no longer a knight. He has been stripped of all his honors. Talora felt as if she'd been struck by something large and heavy, or like she was falling. She thought she might fall, actually. She pictured Knight Uba's face, remembering his parting words to her before she left for the quest. Right at this moment, she could feel the field journal he'd given her tucked safely in her pack, firm against her back. She had never been close to Uba, but she respected him, deeply, and each night when she read through his journal, read his notes and thoughts, it made her feel safe, less alone. Why? Why was he banished? He was insubordinate. He was angry with the white and black knights. He didn't like how Knights Karama and Morgan were handling things. He was preaching patience, understanding, not defensiveness. Foolish, in my opinion. At any rate, he wouldn't submit. Dangerous, but forgivable for someone of his rank. In the end, he willfully disobeyed commands by freeing a prisoner, so he was banished. It's quite a shame. I admired Uba. And now, the greenhouse is without a leader. Talora shook her head. This was impossible to take in. It sounded like Durga. Her Durga. The Durga that she knew and understood to be strong and safe was becoming an unrecognizable place. How could this have happened so quickly? "What do you think is going on, Knight Ozar?" she asked slowly. "What do you think Durga should do?" "Well, listen." Ozar pulled out his sword and ran his hand slowly along the flat of the blade, squinting along its length as he spoke. "If you'd asked me a month ago, I would have said we needed to step up our defenses, send red knights out and maybe some green, too, to keep an eye on things, crack down where needed. There have been many issues, yes, but they mostly seemed small, and with the right force we could tamp them out. But since the dragon attacks, I have to agree with Karama and Morgan. Something huge is happening. War is coming, I can feel it. This dragon, Shakatala, he's not acting alone. We need to be ready, united, as you so aptly observed. We humans need to stick together, and we cannot afford to be trusting dragons or aiding them in their family trials and tribulations. Petra shot a stream of fire at the ground near Ozar's feet. He looked at it, smiled, but did not step back. "I apologize, Petra. I know not all dragons have these tendencies, but you are all dangerous, or you could be, given the right provocation." Petra scowled. "No, that is not true. You don't know us. You do not know my family. We would never..." "As I understand it," Ozar interrupted, "Shakatala is your family." Petra stared daggers at Ozar. "Yes, but... but it's not his fault what's happening." Azrael stood next to Petra, placing a wing across her shoulders. "Shakatala has been used. He's been changed. He doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, we want to help him. Stop him. We want to make sure that he's..." "Well, that's very touching," said Ozar. "But there is no help for dragons who kill humans. I'm afraid all that is in store for Shakatala is to be hunted and taken down. There is no coming back from this."
"No!" Petra exclaimed. "You don't understand, Azrael! They don't understand!"
"I am sorry to bring such bad news. I know you all have been through quite an ordeal. But Talora, we don't have all the time in the world. I've been sent to find you and bring you home. Your mission is too dangerous and controversial in this climate. Humans and dragons are divided. We can't have one of Durga's knights in training galloping around Dunaya helping them. It sends a very confusing message. Knights Karama and Morgan are calling you home. As a knight in training of Durga, you must obey." Talora looked at Ozar. "Don't you want to know where the other dragons are? And Tom?"
"I'm sorry?" asked Ozar, looking puzzled.
"You didn't seem surprised to see me with just Azrael and Petra. Don't you want to know where the others are, what they're doing?" Ozar smiled.
Very observant."
"Yes. We've been keeping tabs on you, more or less. We know Beatrice isn't with you. If we have time, we'll track them down and bring Tom home, too. But it's you we are concerned about. He's just a stable boy."
Talora's temper flared.
"Stable keeper."
Ozar's smile thinned out, his lips pinching together.
"Careful, Talora. You are addressing a knight. Don't forget yourself." Even though she was frightened of Ozar, even though she knew she probably had no choice but to do as he said, she was furious.
He is not just a stable boy, she shot back. Tom is one of the best people I know, and I wouldn't be alive if it weren't for him. None of us would be, probably. We have kept each other safe and sane throughout this quest, and he is as much of a knight as I am. You don't know him, and you don't know me. Ozar's expression was bemused, but dangerous. Talora, your spirit is admirable, your attitude not wholly unsurprising, but come now, we can't stay here any longer. Talora raised her chin and looked directly into Knight Ozar's eyes. She noted that they were a light brown, almost golden, like a cat's. I will not go with you.
Excuse me?
I will not abandon this quest. I will not leave my friends.
Truly one of Uba's charges. So, you would abandon Durga, as did the former head of your house. You will never become a knight. You will never come back to Durga, and you will live in disgrace.
Talora looked at Azrael and Petra, who were staring at her in shock. She thought of Beatrice, who had entrusted her to protect them. She thought of everything they'd done so far, all they'd shared, how much she had learned about herself, about friendship, about love. She had been so lonely in Durga, but with the dragons... Talora shook her head. Was she crazy? She thought briefly for a moment of Tom, wondered what he would do. Tom. Tom Thomas. She knew what he would do. Yes, Talora said, locking her eyes into Ozar's. Yes, I know that. I accept the consequences.
Well, that's a pity. I will inform the White and the Black of your decision, of course. Unfortunately, as a knight in training, it's not a choice you are free to make. You have been ordered to return home. The White and the Black Knights have demanded it.
Talora took a step backwards. What was he going to do? Throw her on the back of his horse? Drag her to Durga? She glanced frantically at Petra and Azrael. If they moved quickly, they could fly off. She noticed that Ozar didn't have a bow. He wouldn't be able to hurt them, and he was just one man, after all.
Talora froze. She caught movement to her left. No. No.
Then more movement to her right. She spun her head, looking all around. He was not just one man. Slowly, from out of the trees, soldiers began to emerge, forming a large circle around Talora and the dragons. Talora thought for a moment of the ragged band of fortune hunters she had fought off only a few days ago. These people were not ragged. They were soldiers, and there were at least 50 of them. They were armed, they moved confidently, and they were clearly under Ozar's command. Talora sank against Petra's body in fear. They were trapped. Ozar smiled.
I'm sorry, Talora, to have distracted you with conversation. It's a simple tactic, but an effective one. It's not too late to join the Red House, you know, and learn to recognize such simple methods of deception. We could use your spirit, although you clearly need some discipline. I have no wish to use force, and if you agree to come peacefully, you and the dragons, we will simply accompany you back to Tremaine.
Why Tremaine? Talora asked, looking around her at the soldiers, who she assumed were wearing Tremanian colors, as she didn't recognize anything from Durga.
The King of Tremaine has been very gracious to me and my knights while I conducted my search for you. Until your shenanigans the other day with innocent Tremanian commoners, I didn't know how close you were. The King was most displeased by your attack on his citizens. He has requested that I bring you to him to face Tremanian justice before I take you back to Durga.
Fine, spat Talora, but I don't see why Petra and Azrael have to go. They didn't attack anyone.
Well, that's not what we heard, said Ozar. I'm sure it's all a misunderstanding, he said hastily as Talora opened her mouth to protest, and one that we can get sorted out with the king. He has extended an invitation to you all, and you had best accept it.
An invitation, said Petra. Feels like we're prisoners, not guests. Ozar looked around at the soldiers surrounding them.
It may be a tenuous distinction at present, but I'm sure if you behave yourselves, there will be no need for imprisonment. Now, time to go. We need to get through Tremaine and back to Durga as quickly as possible. I have wasted too much time looking for you, Talora Shamsa.
Wait, what will happen to Azrael and Petra once I go back to Durga? Asked Talora frantically as the soldiers began to close in around them. Can they come with me?
What happens to them next may depend on the generosity of the king. If he allows them to fly free, why then?
If I were them, I would go back to their mountain and stay there until this is all over. It is not safe to be a dragon in these parts anymore. They have their father to thank for that. Talora shook her head violently, trying to come up with a plan. For months, this quest had given her life shape and purpose, and to feel it slipping away from her made her frantic. One of the soldiers took her arm, and though she was gentle, Talora knew better than to try anything. Petra and Azriel immediately followed Talora when she began walking, and she felt a wave of relief that none of the soldiers were trying to restrain the dragons in any way. Ozar swung himself up onto his horse and looked back at her.
Good. I'm glad to see you're all cooperating. It's only a few hours' march to Tremaine. We'll be there before dark.
Talora looked at the soldier holding her arm. I'll walk by myself. I promise I won't run. I won't leave my friends. The soldier eyed her for a minute, then nodded and backed off. Once Talora was a safe distance away, she whispered softly,
Amethyst, Citrine, don't come out. I don't want anyone to see you. Did you hear all that?
A muffled snort of disdain issued from inside Talora's pack.
We may be excellent interior designers, Talora, but we know when to stop decorating and start listening when serious humans are blying on about things.
We heard it all right. Captured and dragged into a human city. Oh, woe. What would the Diamond Wing say? Although you know what? I am checking off so many boxes on my questing bucket list.
You know what the Diamond Wing would say, Amethyst? They'd say, Amethyst, Citrine, are you crystal fairies worthy of your sacred elemental names, or are you tiny little slugs without backbones or the ability to turn ugly backpack pockets into elegant fairy bungalows?
Oh my gosh, Citrine, you sound just like them.
Thank you, Amethyst.
Okay, but do we know what to do?
Yes, we'll help Talora. It's what we're here for. Duh, Amethyst, we literally just went over this.
Talora sighed.
Okay, thank you both. Stay hidden. It will be good to have a secret weapon.
Ooh, what secret weapon?
Us, Amethyst, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Talora took a deep breath and picked up her pace, marching steadily ahead with a group of soldiers. She didn't care what Ozar said or what the King of Tremaine wanted to do with her. For the first time in her life, Talora knew where her home was. It wasn't a place. It wasn't even people. And she was never going to leave it.
Hello again. If you'd like to know what happens next, please join us for Episode 5, Tremaine. If you have any questions, comments, or artwork you'd like to share, please email petrathedragon@gmail.com. Petra handles all of our communication for us, and she has recently switched over to a complex but very interesting system using carrier pigeons.
If you're enjoying Fad Pack, there are a few simple and fun ways to support the show. If you can leave a rating or a review on the device that you're listening from, go for it. We would love that. This is a great way to help others find the show, and it really means so much to us. Fairies and Dragons, Ponies and Knights is a proud member of Kids Listen, a grassroots organization of advocates for high-quality audio content for kids. You can find more great podcasts at kidslisten.org or download the app. Fairies and Dragons, Ponies and Knights is made and recorded by Dirt Road Theater in Northfield, Vermont. Fad Pack is written and performed by me, Marin Langdon Spillane, and written and created by Dominic Gracelin and Oliver Spillane. The music you heard was composed by the amazing Nathan Lee. You can see more of his work at nathanlee.net. Thank you for listening.